I'm a part-time rock star.
What's up? Welcome to the Part-Time Rockstar Podcast, episode 256. I'm here with Brett Bueller. This week, we have on Shelby Morgan out of Baltimore, Maryland. She is an aspiring pop star whose music is influenced by the likes of Miley Cyrus, Stevie Nicks, The Cure, Pink, and some others for sure. I first met her at a show we played together a little while back at Morse Burgers, and I wanted to get her on the pod to kind of talk about her new album, which just dropped last week. It is called Confessions of a Drama Queen, and I featured the track Sex, Secrets, and Promises on this episode. So if you like it, you can definitely go stream it wherever you listen to music. And in the conversation, we kind of just covered the usual topics about music and songwriting, and then talked about some of her pop heroes and the process of just kind of getting yourself out there and being vulnerable in the public eye and all that. So if you want to support her, you can definitely go follow her on all the social media platforms. Check her out there. I'm sure she'd appreciate it. But regardless, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you yourself are doing well as we move into spring, I dare say. It is creeping up on us. Hopefully you're out there booking gigs, playing gigs, staying positive, and all that sort of stuff. Definitely a big week here in the Hollow Truths world. We'll be heading down to Texas to play a few gigs for South by Southwest week, and then coming back to play New Jersey, and then some gigs over the weekend in Baltimore for Paddy's Day. So we will be out there running around. Other than that, I should mention the third annual Part-Time Rockstar Fest is going to be at Fishhead Cantina in Baltimore, Maryland. It'll be June 8th, so look out for the updates on that. There's merch for the show on Shopify. The sponsor of the show is Truly Strings Guitar Shop out of Laurel, Maryland. And then Part-Time Rockstar Productions is the video branch of this show. So if you need any video content for your stuff, definitely feel free to follow us on Instagram or hit us up. But without any further rambling, we'll get to the conversation with Shelby. Work hard. I'm a part-time rock star. Yeah, you're good to go. We can call the start and get it cracking.
Yeah, I'm ready whenever you are.
Cool. Well, welcome on the show. Good to see you again.
You too.
It's kind of pretty funny to run into you haphazardly last week there. I didn't even notice you at first. You're sitting right in front of the bar.
Yeah, I remember seeing your name on the lineup, but I didn't remember what day it was. So.
Yeah, I kind of snuck back in there, I guess. I think I played there once last summer, but I do a lot of the acoustic things.
Okay, cool.
So, good way to make some extra money and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like Standard Joe's always has a good crowd, too. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, the one time we got in there on, like, Saturday night, it was pretty hopping. It was pretty...
Oh, yeah. Saturdays are way busy.
Yeah. Can be a little intimidating sometimes. You got to play the hits. You got to give people what they want. I keep them dancing.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, everything good in your world. I know you're geared up for your big show / birthday / release, you know.
Yeah, it's been super busy trying to get everything ready for that. It's a lot of moving pieces. And since I'm kind of like the middleman too, I've been like going back and forth with the venue and trying to get all the... I can. It's been like hard to remember to ask them all the questions at once.
Yeah.
And get back to everybody. But I think we're pretty much all set up and ready to go for Thursday. There's just like a couple little things that I need to do in order to be prepared when the day comes. But that's all like small stuff like wardrobe and you know, hair and makeup and making sure I have all my stage props and visualizers and everything like that. But
yeah. What do you guys use then? What do you mean by stage props and visualizers?
Well, I made some stage props for this show specifically. Like I did this microphone stand made out of disc balls. So
nice.
Yeah, I did. I made it out of a pool noodle that I just from the back sliced, so I can just prop it on the microphone stand. It's pretty cool. And I was gonna make a mannequin. I was gonna spray paint a mannequin and put a disco ball on its head, but I ran out of time. We're gonna skip that. But and then for visualizers, I want to be able to play some of my music videos behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And for the songs that I don't have music videos for, I've just made like a little visualizer from a photo, and I've animated my name on there, and it'll be in video format. But it's trying to figure out how much time I need to have it up on screen, because I don't know how long I'm going to be speaking for in between songs. Right. So I was trying to make sure it all is timed correctly, so the music videos play in the right spots.
Is that something you can work out the kinks for, like a band practice? If you were,
I have to really be strict about how long I'm speaking for.
Yeah, and
making sure that I don't overdo it. So, some of the songs I've added some extra time, on, and. So I kind of know, like, oh, okay, after this song, I only have like 30 seconds of time before the next video plays. So I just have to kind of make it super scripted, I guess.
Makes sense. Do you guys use in-ears and all that, or no?
No, we do sometimes, but for this show, we're not.
That's cool. Yeah, I know you guys are a bit more theatrical than the average band, which is good, you know, kind of grabs people a little more.
Yeah, I like being a little over the top. It's just kind of in nature.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, we could break that down. We can go back into the high school days or something if we need to. But and see what you're trying to get out there and trying to work out. But it's cool. I mean, I think people should, you know, not be afraid to just be whoever they're going to be in artist form or in regular ass reality, you know?
Yeah, I think like that's just me all the time. I feel like that's because I love to express myself, and I love fashion and everything like that. But I think I've just practiced enough as a kid. I would like put on performances in my bedroom to nobody. And just be extra to nobody. So I'm used to performing to no one. So when it comes to actually bringing that to one of my live shows, it's really easy for me because I've just been doing that my whole life anyways.
That's cool. I see you've moved to your record shrine on the wall. People won't be able to see this, but if they're listening, you got all your records up in the background.
Yeah, I do. These are all my favorite records that I have that I could fit on this little part. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Actually, I came across a company one time called CD Art. It was like 20 years ago, but, you know, it had like a way that you could put CDs together, like a puzzle, like on your wall.
Oh, that's cool.
And I don't know if they do that for records too, but I feel like since records are obviously making a big comeback. Maybe,
right. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like you'd have to have a big wall.
But yeah, for sure. But yeah, before maybe we get into like, you know, your solo stuff and what kind of got you going. I feel like we run in the same circles a lot, and, I think it just occurred to me before I called you that you probably know Felix, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you probably record with him or have recorded at least?
No. Okay. I have not. I don't really know Felix that well. I know him through other people.
Okay. Yeah, like through Luke and whatnot.
Yeah, and maybe have met him once.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were recording there. I just brought it up because I was going over to see him tomorrow. So
okay,
I was like, huh, I wonder if, but then that also just brings up the obvious question of like, if you wanted to mention where you record or where you.
Yeah. So I record at Right Way Studios in, I guess it's considered Charles Village in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I record with Nate Ranzino, if you know Nate.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve Wright is who owns the studio, and he does some recording as well. I know Dana Denise did her record there with him.
Yeah. Well, I am a novice interviewer, I guess you could say. Been doing this a few years. But what I like to do is try to like ask people more about, you know, what they're really trying to get to with their music. Not so much like the obvious stuff, like, you know, we all want to get out and have fun, play shows, but like, you know, I try to get to the soul of an artist if I can somehow find out like where they're coming from, where they're trying to get to, and where they are like currently, you know. Usually, yeah, the obvious thing to do is ask about influences and stuff like that, so we can kind of start there. But we don't necessarily have to, you know what I mean?
Well, I'll say that for me, since I was little, I always knew I wanted to be a pop star.
Yeah.
I feel like I always knew it was my purpose, and I didn't see myself doing anything else with my life. So a lot of that was centered around the fact that I wanted to always sing and be a performer.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would even go to on vacation with my family, with my parents, and I'd be like, Dad, can you make sure they have karaoke, or can you see if they have a talent show? Like I always wanted to just go out and perform for people. And I would do it at my house too. I would like put on little concerts in my living room for my mom, or one time my brother, he played baseball in like a rec league.
Yeah.
And I brought my roller karaoke kit with me, and I put on a show for the parents. I was really hoping to put on a show for the boys,
yeah,
but care less because they were teenage boys. Mm-hmm. So I was performing for the parents at my brother's baseball end of year baseball party. But I think it really, my love for it and wanting to be a pop star really heightened with Hannah Montana coming out.
Yeah.
And she was my biggest influence, Miley Cyrus, since I was like 10 years old. And I still definitely consider her my biggest inspiration when it comes to how I write my music and how I perform, and you know, how I think about things when it comes to what I'm wearing, and how it all kind of feels very cohesive together. And the one thing I love about her as well that I do in my music, I don't really do it intentionally, but because I've listened to her for so long and have followed her, is just writing a song that feels right in the moment. I don't really necessarily stick to one genre, even though it might be considered pop.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely am all over the place when it comes to the kind of pop song it is, or like it could fit into a country song if it wanted to, or it could be a rock song if it wanted to.
Yeah.
Just because I did have a lot of other musical influences growing up. On my dad, like my dad would always listen to Pearl Jam and Elvis and Bruce Springsteen. So I was kind of getting a lot of that from him. And then with my mom, we were listening to a lot of disco and funk music and Outkast and Mary J. Blige. So I just listen to a lot of different types of music. I'm inspired by a lot of different types of music. So I never wanted to feel like I fit into one necessary box, but it's kind of just become my whole brand since I love vintage clothing and I love selling vintage clothing. So I say every single song, I want to feel like a different piece of your favorite vintage item.
That's a cool description. It's unique.
Yeah. Yeah, so like a different song for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Well, that was one of the things I noticed listening to your catalog a little more today was, like, you're right, you don't really pin down to exactly one genre, but it's cool. I mean, obviously, I think your latest song is Twin Flame Shit, but I could be wrong about that.
I just put out the title track of my new album. It's called Confessions of a Drama Queen. So that came out on this last Tuesday, so a week ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's cool how, like, it almost, you know, some of the tracks oscillate between, like, rock, almost like in the NGK ballpark, to, like, a little bit more almost, not rap, but, you know, in the hip-hop sort of genre.
Yeah.
As it fits into pop, of course.
And Twin Flame Shit is definitely the one song on the record that is very different. It sticks out from the rest of the album. But I still try and add similar elements to the songs in a project to make them feel like they belong together. So it's not necessarily like such a shocking thing when it starts to play after another song, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's cool. And you've been doing it since about 2017?
Yes. Professionally recording and playing with bands. I started in a cover band where I'm from, and then decided to branch out, and that cover band did original songs too. We never performed them live, but we would record them. But I'm not going to tell, I don't want you to hear the songs.
That's fair.
Because they weren't songs that I was just doing it because, you know, I was trying to get experience. But I definitely, in that definitely helped me getting used to being able to perform and practicing singing. Because, you know, before that, I wasn't stretching my muscle
at
all, the vocal cords. So it definitely helped me stretch that muscle and get into the consistency of singing every week and strengthening my voice. And I started taking vocal lessons then as well, and was just like, I want to start actually recording my own music. And I'd been writing music since I was little, but the songs weren't great, and I would only sing them for my mom and my cousins, and that's about it. Like, I wasn't doing anything with them, but
you got your sea legs, more or less, I guess, doing that.
Definitely. And I feel like I've definitely honed in on my sound in the past 4 years, just because I met Mike Manos, who I co-write with, and he's like my Lennon to my McCartney.
Nice.
He really knows how to push me to do things that I wouldn't necessarily think of, and he's just a great person to work with, for me at least.
This will probably air after the album comes out, but is there anything, like, on the new album where you feel like there's a good example of that, where you got pushed a little bit, or you pushed yourself in a, like, kind of new direction, and, like, it came out in a cool way you didn't expect?
I mean, I guess Twin Flame Shit is a good example of that, because when I wrote it, I wasn't thinking of it as a rap hip hop song. And Mike has a lot of he likes to use a lot of trap elements and hip hop elements in his music. And when I sent him the idea, he made the instrumentation for it. And when I heard it, I was like, really? This is what we're doing? Trust me, like, it'll work. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so we did that. And it's just stuff like that where, like, he'll have an idea and, like, I'll just be like, are you sure about that? And he's like, trust me. And I'm like, okay. So sometimes I just, like, don't even question it now. And I'm just like, okay, cool, I'll do it. And I'll just do it. Like, there's also another song. It's the last song on the record. It's called Clover. And it kind of happened the same way. And he gave me an idea that was kind of silly and out of pocket for me. And I was just like, I don't know if I want to do that. And it was kind of the same type of rap energy as Twin Flame. And it'll work. And then I was like, okay, I'll just record it. So I recorded it and I was like, wait, you're right. This actually is really good. So yeah, now I just stop questioning it. Or he'll have really good melody ideas where he'll be like, I know you can belt this. Like, he knows my voice really well. So he'll be like, I know you can belt this, just do it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's cool. I was going to ask how you were, if that one in particular, if that was like on what type of instrument, if it was like keys or like just humming a melody or like what?
How do I write my music?
In general, but then that one in particular too, I was trying to put myself in your shoes a little and think like, where did that one come from musically? But you kind of explained it. That being said, yeah. I was just curious how you start a song.
So it depends on the... Sometimes a melody will come to me with an idea that I've already written of a phrase or something like that. And then I'll just voice memo the melody idea I have with it and then expand from there. I don't really necessarily like to write an entire song without all the rest of the instrumentation. So I'll just have the idea in a small phrase and then expect it when I work with Mike, but sometimes he'll even bring me stuff that he's made, and you know, if I feel inspired by it, I'm like, yeah, let's write something to it, and I'll go back to my song ideas in my notes, and kind of I'll channel what I'm feeling in that moment and be like, okay, what do I want this song to be about, and then go through the things I've written in my notes and piece them together, or just find something that I really like and expand it from there. Sometimes it takes me longer to come up with a hook if I'm stuck. But normally I just listen to it in my car and then it comes a little bit easier to me that way as well.
That's cool. Well, I personally, I'm always interested in lyrics, and that's also like the way I like to write this kind of lyrics first. But what stands out to me is like, is your lyrics, and then also just like your song titles, like they're good, like they're kind of unique, they're kind of self-explanatory to an extent, but like I said, like in a way that you recognize and you don't just glaze over always at first. So
yeah.
Like you got some good ones on the album. I haven't obviously heard the full thing yet, but just looking at it, I can already tell like which songs I'd go to first, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely am very, anal when it comes to what the names of the songs are going to be.
Yeah.
So, cause I want them to be catchy, but I also want them to look good, cause I'm a very visual person as well, so I want it to look good when I'm looking at it on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever as a list.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone should hopefully have that philosophy, but I feel like it's even more sort of critical in pop, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
You got Boyfriend Jeans. I can already tell that's gonna be it.
Yeah.
Don't know what it's necessarily is, but you know, it's probably gonna be solid.
Yeah, it's definitely very TLC, Y2K type of pop. I would explain it that way.
And I liked Emo Boys from New Jersey as well.
Yeah.
Which is already out as well.
And that title had to be long because, you know, emo music, a lot of the song titles are long in itself. Yeah. So with me doing that, I was okay with that title being so long because it was an ode to all of the emo music that I grew up listening to as well.
Yeah. I know you mentioned New Jersey, you know, obviously in that title, but is that where you grew up or is that
No, I didn't grow up in New Jersey. The reason why I specifically sang about New Jersey was because I was at When We Were Young Festival the first year, and I had found a picture after becoming obsessed with Gerard Way and Adam Lazara again.
Mm-hmm.
I found a picture of them together, and then just started, went down a rabbit hole and was like, oh my God, why? I was like, why are all these emo bands from New Jersey? Why is that a thing? I mean, technically Taking Back Sunday isn't really from New Jersey, but they base themselves out of Long Island, and they have a song called Timberwolves of New Jersey. So that's why I included them in that narrative. But that's basically why it's from New Jersey, because a lot of my favorite emo bands are from there, like Coheed and Cambria, and technically Take You Back Sunday. I consider them from there. The first time I saw them was in New Jersey, and My Chemical Romance.
Nice. Was there a particular song that you were either scared to write or release on this album?
Ooh, good question. I'm thinking.
Like one that maybe felt it broke some new ground as far as like what you're willing to explore?
So there's a couple, but for different reasons. My song Pipe Dream, that one is definitely a very vulnerable song for me. It's one of the slower kind of ballady songs on there. But I added a personal voice note in there. And once I added it in there, I was like, I got really emotional. I was like, oh my God, I don't know. Like, but it made the song even so much better that I was like, I can't take it out now. Like I need to keep it on this song. So I am a little nervous about putting that out into the world. But you know, Boyfriend Jeans, that's a song about self-love and just learning to love yourself, like being okay with being alone. And even though it's kind of a fun poppy song, I was really sad when I wrote it. And the bridge, especially, like every time I would listen to the demo back, I would just be in tears because I just remembered how sad I was that day writing it. And how I felt. So for me, that one's a little bit more gut-wrenching to listen to for myself. But Clover, I might, let's just say I might lose a friendship.
Oh. Yeah.
When they hear the song.
Well, I assume you're not naming names, but I assume the person is probably gonna figure it out.
Yeah, it's not like it's not obvious. So we'll see how it goes after the show on Thursday.
is said person gonna be in the audience?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. I'll keep you updated.
Right on. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do is write about my friends.
Well, we were more than friends. We're trying to be now. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Or exes or whatever. And it's always that much more awkward when they're there. Yeah. Or not. I don't know.
The thing is, it's like, you know you're going to date a writer, so...
Yeah.
You have to understand that at some point you're probably going to get written about.
Yeah. Just got to give them the straight up warning that on the label. But
yep. And it's funny because I had written a love song about them. And that was the first song I had ever written about them. And of course, like, you know, they made the comment of like, you Taylor Swift me. Swift didn't. I was like, I mean, kind of, yeah, but this isn't a bad song about you. Like, this is a love song. So you can't be that mad that this happened, but, you know.
Yeah.
If this ends, you should expect that it's probably not going to be another love song.
Yeah. Yeah. Know how that goes.
Yeah.
When you were mentioning before, I forget which song it was you were talking about, but kind of just saying that, you know, your work, like when you're building your self-confidence or self-worth or stuff like that, Obviously art, you know, I think helps all of us who are involved with it. Is that like one of the, is that the only avenue you feel like, or you got like some other stuff in the back pocket that helps? Or
I mean, I have a really good support system, so that helps a lot. But you know, I grew up going to therapy because my parents got divorced when I was really young, so we were forced to go to therapy. So I'm in a point where in my life where like I don't enjoy it, I don't see any benefit from it, just because I feel like I was kind of desensitized from it. And my best form of therapy is writing and performing the music. That's where I feel like I can really work through things. And I know a lot of people don't really have that luxury. I feel very lucky that I'm able to get better that way.
Yeah.
But I hope that my music can help people in that way too. And me just being like, hey, I'm able to do it. You're able to do it too. I mean, it takes some vulnerability, which I grew up not knowing how to be vulnerable, but I had to work through that and get uncomfortable to be comfortable where I am now.
Yeah. And you ultimately do have to be, you know, headstrong or just strong in general to be publicly vulnerable, of course.
Oh, definitely.
And ultimately it should make you stronger, you would think, unless...
It definitely does. And that's one thing I learned, you know, like, and that's what this album is kind of about. I'm honoring my inner child because, you know, when I was a kid, I was bullied a lot for being very emotional, and it made me shut down when I got into high school, and you know, I barely cried about anything. I was keeping things deep down inside. Yeah. And not talking to anybody about it, and I got to a point where I was an adult and I had all of this stuff buried deep down and I didn't know how to handle it, and I just exploded. And was just very lost, and I had to relearn who I was and figure out how to love myself. And one of my friends, she's the lead singer of Group Love, actually, and we were talking, and this changed my view on everything, and it helped me so much. But she told me, she was like, it's okay to cry. You have to water your garden for it to grow. And that is the best advice I think I've ever gotten for myself and in my healing journey as a person. So I definitely now know that my emotions make me stronger. It's not a weakness, even though a lot of people try to still tell me that. I speak, but it's like, no, actually, I actually knew how to work through things. And I see that as a strength because I feel like I'm in a really good place in my life.
Well, it's obviously good to hear, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
Dark times make you stronger, hopefully. Do you ever kind of get into the whole, you know, partying, air quotes, through your emotions back in the day? Or kind of steer clear of that strategy?
You know, I'm not really sure if I use that as a gateway. A lot of my time spent partying was just, you know, I was around people who liked to party. So I was just, yeah. And I just like having a good time. Mm-hmm. And I like hanging around people. So I would be involved in situations that I necessarily didn't like. But I just would kind of ignore it and just not partake in certain things, but just be there. Because I didn't want to be alone. And right before I kind of had my breakthrough, it was quarantine. So I wasn't, I think everybody was, you know, drinking every day, and because it was just like, what else are you going to do?
pretty much.
So it wasn't real. Maybe subconsciously, I was doing that to kind of try and feel things, but it definitely wasn't something on my mind. Like, oh, I need to,
yeah,
I need right now because I don't want to think about what I'm feeling.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like there are categories of people, you know. Sometimes people are kind of going through something, working through something, and that's why they're in rage mode. And some people just like to party and have fun. And, like, I don't think they're, you know, there's always exactly the same situation going on for everybody at all.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the life of the party anyways. Without anything, so... I'm always high on life, you know. Nice. What I mean?
Yeah, so you don't need any extra whatever to get going for a show or anything?
No, I don't. It sometimes just makes it more fun.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, I felt like if alcohol didn't exist, I would never, like, played original music anyway. Like, yeah. Straight up. It's like a great tool almost to just be like, well, fuck it, you know?
Right.
Have a few shots, have fun with it. People laugh at you, like, whatever. Like,
right.
You know, gonna do this. See how it goes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Different strategies, though, for everybody.
Definitely.
I know that's often kind of frowned upon to say, but such is life. yeah, it's been pretty fun. Definitely got up to speed on your latest and greatest hits, hopefully. You know.
Oh, just you wait.
Yep. The big tour is coming for sure. Just gotta manifest it, right?
100%.
That's cool.
I'll be on tour with Group Love soon.
Oh, that'll be rad.
I'm saying it.
Oh, so right. Yeah, I got you.
I'm manifesting it.
Right. Here you go. Manifest it on the internet. What better place to do it?
Tour with Group Love first, and then I'll be on tour with Miley Cyrus.
That would be crazy. Yeah. I don't publicly say how much I listen to Miley, but I do. I like her, later stuff.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, most of my wall is Miley Cyrus over here, so.
You did a cover of hers, right?
Yeah, so me and Luke Roberts did a cover from her album "Endless Summer Vacation." I have that on my wall too.
Nice.
A song called "Jaded," and I had brought it to him. I don't think he had heard it, and yeah, we made it very stripped down, very sad, and we'll actually be performing it at the album release show as well. So,
right on. Well, like I said, this will probably air after, but are there any other big plans for the summer? I'm imagining you probably can't talk too much about whatever, but are you trying to get out there, play some different venues, different cities, or anything like that?
Yeah, I really want to do a tour. And obviously, I have a plan to just start on the East Coast and hopefully be able to do a second leg and then a third leg and work my way through the United States, but one step at a time. But I have been booking a lot of shows in the spring and doing my pretty much once a month thing at Metropolitan in Annapolis on the rooftop.
Oh, that's cool.
From May to September. So I have that in the bag. And I have some really exciting shows in the spring in Baltimore that I've gotten asked to do, which I'm super excited about. And I'm looking forward to those a lot. But other than that, I'm hoping that the things I've entered for a contest to perform at South by Southwest. And
right on.
I'm hoping to get accepted into the Battle of the Bands for Let's Go Music Fest in Annapolis, which is in May. because Taking Back Sunday is playing, and it would be really cool to be able to open up for them and sing Emo Boys from New Jersey, that would be really cool. So fingers crossed for all of that. I hope those work out, but if not, it's all good. And
yeah,
we've got some cool shows to look forward to, and
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. I try to go down to South by Southwest just to hang out and, you know, drink on Sixth Street. But we've been able to start picking up some gigs down there. So if you do get one, usually you beget another. So
okay.
Hopefully. Sometimes just gotta fly a little blind and build it as you fly it. But
Yeah. Totally.
Could definitely work out, and I could definitely see you playing New York City a lot too. I'd be like,
yeah,
it seems like that'd be your jam.
For sure. That's kind of the plan. I wanna start with some shows up north. So Boston and New York City. I'm trying to think if there was another place that I was gonna try and get over there.
Yeah.
Those are the two main spots for sure that I want to play. Oh, Philly. I want to do a show in Philly too.
Hell yeah.
And then hopefully if that goes well, I'd like to do a second leg and go through Virginia and maybe hit Ohio and kind of like West. And then eventually I want to be able to go and play in LA and Vegas and Arizona, just because I've been asked a lot to go and play in Vegas, but right now it's not really realistic.
Yeah, truck the whole band out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure you'll get there. You know, sometimes it takes a couple of years to kind of figure out the logistics and stuff.
But yeah.
Luckily, you know, being where we are, I've found it to be really awesome that, you know, it's so easy to go play Philly, New York, or whatever. And just, it's right there. So
totally.
But don't want to take up too much of your evening here. I feel like we got a pretty good synopsis of the Shelby. So was there anything that I maybe didn't get to that you wanted to bring up?
I don't think so. My album Confessions of a Drama Queen comes out this Thursday, February 29th. It's 10 songs. And
yeah. Oh yeah, which song or songs should I slap on there on this episode?
So my lead single for the album is going to be Sex, Secrets, Promises. Mm-hmm. If you want that one. Mm-hmm. But I do Confessions of a Drama Queen too. I had a really hard time trying to pick out a lead single for this album. So I know the PR team that I'm working with, I gave them the ones that I was kind of in between, and they were like, oh, okay, like, we love Sex, Secrets, Promises. Let's do that one. And I was like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get it on there. Get it on the airwaves.
So, yeah.
This thing doesn't get a ton of streams, but, you know, our listener is always very stoked.
I appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah, and obviously down the road, if you ever want to do another one or something or promote anything else, just let me know.
Totally.
And maybe I'll run into you again in Annapolis. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, if you're around Thursday, you should come to Audubard.
Yeah, I might have to. So
yeah, great. And it's a good time.
Cool. Well, text you if I have any other questions or something, but I think think we're pretty much good to go.
Sounds good.
So. No problem, and have a good rest of your night.
Yeah, you too.
All right, we'll see you.
So, yeah, if you made it this far, thanks for listening. The song that you're hearing in the background is called Sex, Secrets, and Promises. See you next week. I send a search for your arrest. Follow your trail of cigarettes. I've been thinking about revenge. Using my love as consequences. Waiting to be cut. Let you sink into the earth.